you were going to be able to come through with this entire list, because I'm not even sure you watch Game of Thrones or the Cowboys at this point.
Is dead silent until it's time for action. He's not here to talk before the game. He's not here to talk after the game. But during the game, he's all action. Because I'm throwing haymakers from the jump.
I see. You came out swinging bolos like your son was in boxing classes or
something. Yeah, and then here you come with the Conor McGregor. So let's see what you got.
Remember that move? Remember that move when Cole Beasley shook the dude and made him dab on himself before Cole caught the touchdown?
I mean, you know, might as well, since you're going to lose anyway. I'm all for it. Hey, if you want, you can go 4-3-2-1 and then just, you know. But we'll go back and forth and make it interesting for the people. So it's
I'm honestly surprised that you could count backwards. All right, all right, all right. I promise you that behind the scenes might even be more entertaining than this podcast right here between me and my man Patrick Walker. But you are here for the second episode of Catch This Fade. I am, of course, KD Drummond. Follow me on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL. Follow Pat on Twitter at Voice of the Star. How are you doing today, sir?
I am doing great. Extremely blessed. How about yourself, brother?
Man, I have no complaints. I am psyched for all intents and purposes. We are arrived at training camp. The rookies are reported. The Cowboys are going to be flying out to Oxnard over the weekend, and then everything is going to be hunky-dory. That's the best way that I can put it, because we've missed football so much. And also, in addition to that, we have the return of the seventh season of Game of Thrones. And I thought to myself, what would be the best way to commemorate this glorious week of existence in the world that we live in today? 2017 has been garbage, but right now we have two beautiful things, so let's combine them. What we're going to do today on this episode of Catch This Fade is combine Game of Thrones and the Cowboys by linking together characters from the show and players or entities, I should say, anybody associated with the Cowboys team. Now, we're both going to present our top five list, counting down from 5 to 1, and then at the end of the day on Twitter or wherever you want to do it, you can chime in and tell us who you think had the better list. Patrick, which is, you know, his family members might believe that he had the better list. And then all of the society will believe that
me,
KD.
Reign, sir. Yeah. Let the petty reign.
Well, you know what it is. So let's get it started. We're going to go back and forth. We're both going to name our number 5. Then we're both going to name our number 4, so on and so forth, until we get to the top of the list.
I just want to go ahead and let everybody know right now to disregard every single thing that KD has said before I started talking just now about, you know, me supposedly catching this fade, because my list is not only stellar, it's in a whole nother galaxy. It's interstellar is what it is. So,
well, I mean, if you're going to give all the dirt, at least tell the people that I already gave you my number 5. I told you who my number 5 is to get you on the right path, because I was worried about whether or not you were going to be able to come through with this entire list, because I'm not even sure you watch Game of Thrones or the Cowboys at this point.
Woo!
So, you know, that's basically where I am with it. So I was a little worried about the content you were going to bring to the show, but I'm going to let you go first, since I gave you the hint on who my number 5 comparison was. So I'll let you go first with your number 5.
Oh, man. Okay, well, first let's just clear this up before I start with my number 5. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been watching Game of Thrones from season 1, episode 1, back when KD Drummond was watching Basketball Wives. So let's just put that out there right now, okay? Let's cut the chicanery, and let's just get down to business. Number 5, Jalen Smith. And Jalen Smith, to me, equates to Bran Stark, the Raven.
The three-eyed Raven. Tell me why.
The three-eyed Raven. Here's why. Jalen has suffered horrific injury that robbed him of full use of his lower appendages.
Yeah.
He remains eternally positive. He foreshadowed his own miraculous healing months before it happened, which proves he's clairvoyant. Mentally, he's one of the strongest in the NFL already, just entering his second season, even without playing a snap. And he's destined to return and be a key weapon in saving all 7 kingdoms from certain death this winter. Jalen Smith is Bran Stark, the three-eyed Raven. What you got?
Jesus, that's good. I'm mad at you for that one. I mean, look, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. That's a damn good choice right there.
Yeah.
It's not as good as my number 5, but it's damn good.
Well, let's see what you got, because I'm throwing haymakers from the jump.
I see. You came out swinging bolos like your son was in boxing classes or something.
Yeah, and then here you come with the Conor McGregor. So let's see what you got.
Oh, damn. Okay, shame. Now, my number five is Jason Witten.
Uh-huh.
And his comparison, his character?
Uh-huh.
The Red Woman, Melisandre.
Ah, clever.
Now, see how this works. I have no idea how Jason Witten is still productive in the NFL. He's been in the NFL basically since the dawn of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Sooner or later, somebody's going to come across, when he's going across the middle, somebody's going to come down from the safety position, hit him, and is going to knock his amulet off, and he's going to have breasts hang down to his knees, like what happened in The Red Woman. Because I'm still not over that scene where she was sitting by the fire getting the bandage, she took that amulet off, and she turned into something from The Lord of the Rings. I still don't understand.
So traumatic.
That was one of the most. Somebody asked me on Twitter, what was the biggest death that affected you the most, and it was the death of my attraction for The Red Woman as soon as I saw that.
Yeah.
I can't get that image out of my head. So my comparison to Jason Witten is basically that he's old as hell and still very viable and still very reliable, and he contributes so much to the situation. Now, it hasn't worked out to the point of a championship yet, but I have a feeling that somewhere down the line, either in season 7 or in the finale season 8, we're going to see the Red Woman again, and that's going to be Jason Witten's swan song. So there you go. My number five is
Jason
Witten.
That's nice. That's nice. And two hand claps for that one.
Okay, I'll take two hand claps.
Two hand clap emojis. Now, I was going to give you three, but you talk too much trash, so I got to take the third one back.
Now, in the interest of fairness, we're going to do this like fantasy football, which another thing that you know nothing about. I'm going to do a snake order draft. And so since I went last in the round of the number five, I'll go first now in the round of number four.
It's only fair. I mean, you know, might as well. Since you're going to lose anyway, I'm all for it. Hey, if you want, you can go 4-3-2-1 and then just, you know. But we'll go back and forth to make it interesting for the people. So it's
I'm honestly surprised that you could count backwards. That honestly just shocked me right there. So that's amazing. Hand clap to you, sir. Golf clap, all of that good stuff. Number four. Will McClay, director of player personnel for the Cowboys, is my man, the imp. Tyrion Lannister. What's the role that Will McClay plays? He will never, in the history of the universe, get the title that he deserves of GM of the Dallas Cowboys. It's not going to happen. The Joneses will never let that title leave the family, but we all know who's running things behind the scenes, and that's Will McClay. And that's exactly what Tyrion Lannister is. He was a great hand of the king to Joffrey. He even slapped old boy around when he needed to. And now that he's with Queen of the Andals, Mother of Dragons, he once again is the confidant, is the person that gives all of the great advice and basically rules without being in the Iron Throne, in the Iron Chair.
Okay.
Will McClay is Tyrion Lannister.
Okay.
Let's go.
That's a very, very fair assessment there. Although I got to give you the merits, because you know, you even admitted yourself that he's already been the hand of Joffrey, and now he's the hand of Daenerys Targaryen. So technically, that makes him the second chair. So you can't really say that he's not going to earn. You know, but you know, we'll just let it go, because
he went from the false king. Because Joffrey is a bastard and he has nothing to do with the actual Baratheon line. So when he was the hand of the king of Joffrey, that was basically not a real position, because Joffrey shouldn't have had the throne. And that's kind of like when he was in charge of the Dallas Desperados. So there you go.
Ooh, fair enough. Okay, well, Daenerys being equivalent to the Dallas Cowboys, then you would have to admit that he is in fact now second chair in the Dallas Cowboys, right? I mean, because that's the complete equivalent. But there's a disconnect there. So that's why you got to lose points. Nice try, though. It started out great, but then it turned into, you know, a Carson Wentz throw really quickly. But no worries. Number four.
Your challenge is overthrown, but carry on.
Number four, wide receiver Dez Bryant. He is the king of the North, Jon Snow.
I like it.
Here's why. Dez is, in fact, the rightful heir to the NFL wide receiver throne. His passion that comes out and is readily on display on the field proves there is, in fact, Targaryen DNA in his blood.
I like it.
Okay? He is a savage. Okay? Much like Jon Snow, Dez has ascended from a troubled and disturbed past that has also involved other parties trying to assassinate his character. Keeping in that metaphor, Dez's career was nearly murdered, quote unquote, by injury in 2015, and he was nearly buried dead and gone in the eyes of NFL public opinion, but came back to life in 2016, resurrected, stood up and said, hey, I'm still here. And now he is going to help lead the charge and potentially take the Iron Throne for himself. Dez Bryant is my Jon Snow, and the North remembers.
You got Jon Snow all the way at number four. That just shows your inability to process this entire
no,
thing.
What it does,
but I like,
what,
I like.
What it should do is terrify you about my top three. But go on.
I have a feeling that our Ghostbuster packs are gonna cross streams at some point.
Never cross the streams, dude.
I have a feeling that your number one and my number one is gonna be the same.
Never cross the streams.
So that's gonna be a problem. But I'll give you credit for Dez Bryant. That's a nice little analogy right there. That was, you know, good. That's not who I have for John Starr. John Snow appears.
John Snow. See?
Well, he technically is.
What are we doing here?
He's a Stark and he's a Targaryen.
What are we doing?
But he's not a New York man. So,
ladies and gentlemen, I got him on his heels.
All right, let's go.
I'm going to back off for a second. Let him regain his composure.
I'm going to go ahead and let you go to your number three so I can go ahead and knock it out the park like Bryce Harper does every time he faces the Braves. So go ahead and go to your number three.
Ooh, we bringing up baseball. Okay. Keep it above the belt. They're going to dock you points for that on the side. Number three.
Okay.
Number three, I'm going to go with tight end Jason Witten, but here's, ladies and gentlemen, why my comparison of Jason Witten to the Game of Thrones character I'm about to name is light years beyond what KD served up with that hot pocket of a comparison. I'm here to bring you, ladies and gentlemen, Thanksgiving dinner. Jason Witten is Sir Gregor Clegane, a.k.a. The Mountain.
Let's go. Tell me why.
And here's why. Jason Witten is dead silent until it's time for action. He's not here to talk before the game. He's not here to talk after the game. But during the game, he's all action. He is in peak physical condition that defies time and the laws of physics, much like the Mountain is doing right now as he stands on the side of Cersei Lannister, right? Jason Witten is seemingly unbeatable in one-on-one combat. With or without his armor, as evidenced in the now famous game where he continued to run with the helmet off, which helped change or force the NFL to change the rules about the play being dead after the helmet comes off. That's all Jason Witten's fault, ladies and gentlemen. He is extremely loyal, and although many, many people despise Jason Witten, much like they despise the Mountain, they wouldn't dare. They don't have the marbles to tell him to his face for fear of what would happen again in one-on-one action. So for me, ladies and gentlemen, tight end Jason Witten, my number three is Sir Gregor Clegane, the Mountain. What you got?
KD Drummond. Follow me on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL. Catch me online on Cowboys Wire. And this is obviously Patrick Walker. Catch him on Twitter at Voice of the Star, Dallas 24/7 Sports. We, of course, are bringing you the comparison between Game of Thrones and Cowboys characters. This is what we do here on Catch This Fade. We take it, it's always going to be about the Cowboys, but we take it off the roadmap a little bit just to make sure that you understand what it's like to catch this fade. And Catch This Fade is exactly what Pat is about to do when I reveal my number three. Jason Witten in the Mountain was nice, but my number three? Cole Beasley. Arya Stark. Cole Beasley is Arya Stark because Cole started off as a cute little side show where he was leaving training camp and then he came back and he was Tony Romo's buddy and he was fun to watch run around and everything and develop and he got a little age to him and then he got some little trials and tribulations in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turned into an absolute assassin. And that's what my girl Arya Stark is right now. Nobody wants to see Arya on the entire map of Westeros, Essos, or anywhere in between. Because she is coming for everybody on that list. And that's the way I feel about Cole Beasley coming out the slot. You can't check him. You can't stop him because he's in the slot. So you can't do any kind of pressure on him at the line. And then when he gets in his routes, he's as efficient as Arya is at killing. And she's having fun with it right now. Remember that move when Cole Beasley shook the dude and made him dab on himself before Cole caught the touchdown? That's how Arya did to Walter Frey. And then they're going to come back. Spoiler alert. So pause for a minute if you haven't watched episode 1.
Spoiler alert.
But then she's going to come back and play Walter Frey and take out the entire clan? Are you serious right now? That's like Cole Beasley on third down. He's taking out entire defenses all in one swoop with the help of Dak Prescott. That's my number three. Cole Beasley, Arya Stark.
That was exceptionally flawless
dab
execution on that one.
I
will take nothing away from you there. I'm a good sport. So firm handshake on that one, sir.
Yeah, there you go.
Now you're forcing me to bring out the heavy artillery.
Wait. Who went first? I went first.
No, I went.
You
five.
Went first, and then I went first on four, and then you went first on three. So I go first on two.
Okay.
Back to back,
hey, listen,
like a
listen.
Drake track.
It's however you need this whooping to go. Go for it, sir. Go for it.
My number two.
Uh-huh.
Cowboys comparison to a Game of Thrones character.
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Give it to me.
Jon Snow.
It is who?
Jon Snow.
Oh, I need an explanation.
Here's how this rocks.
Yeah, please. Jon Snow
has proven that he is an outstanding strategist.
Mm-hmm.
He is the core, the foundation of the show, basically since season 3, which is basically what's happened with Ezekiel Elliott. He's become the Cowboys' best player, the most prominent player, and it's really his team. Just like Game of Thrones is really Jon Snow's show. The problem with Jon Snow, he is absolutely naive to everything going on around him except for what he focuses on. And that's, I love him to death, but that's my man Zeke right now. He has absolutely no idea how to conduct himself in public to be able to focus on the goal. And you notice how Jon Snow got himself killed. Was the idea that bringing the wildlings past the wall, was that what had to happen? Yeah. Did he pay attention to the fact that these dudes were setting him up? He runs to go checks to see Uncle Benjen has returned. A wildling knows something about Uncle Benjen, but he's in a dark corner. Come on, Jon Snow. I need you to pay attention to your surroundings.
Okay.
I need you to pay attention to your surroundings. So that's my comparison. Ezekiel Elliott is the star of the show. Jon Snow is the star of the show. Everything centers around them. But I need them to please pay more attention before you lose everything that you've been fighting for. You're up.
And while I see the correlation between Elliot and Snow, it's a solid explanation that you just laid out there. My only problem with that is Elliot lacks the unbridled struggle that Snow had in his upbringing, which is what I akin more to Dez Bryant. So that's kind of my only disconnect there. But overall, that was, you know, it was cool if you want to think that was a good one. But, you know,
knowing what I know about you, I can completely see why you would have a problem with that genius comparison that I just came up with. You're not capable of operating on that level to understand the correlation between the character and the player. So I understand why you would need to be on the surface. Oh, Dez had a tough upbringing, so, you know, he's Jon Snow and so on and so forth.
Oh, no. Let's not be confused. I understood completely. But one man's spaghetti is another man's top ramen. So, you know, you're not going to give me shrimp flavored ramen and tell me that it's pasta from Rome. I'm just not here to buy that. Especially when I have my number two queued up and it's a doozy, okay? Ladies and gentlemen of the Dallas Cowboys world, nation, global audience. Patrick Walker's number two is quarterback Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, to me, is, drumroll please, Jaime Lannister, the Kingslayer.
Ooh, okay, give it to me. What's up?
Dak Prescott is not only insanely loyal, he was misunderstood initially, as was Jaime, right?
Mm-hmm.
He, and I, by that I mean Dak Prescott was a fourth round compensatory pick who came into training camp in 2016 as the third quarterback on the depth chart. He was supposed to be a quote unquote project quarterback that wasn't, you know, that was going to be groomed, but he wasn't going to be anywhere near ready, right? Wrong. He came out with the talent level and skill set of a first round pick. As a matter of fact, he exceeded some first round picks, including the number one overall pick, Jared Goff. Dak Prescott, in doing so, was forced to kill the incumbent king for the good of the kingdom. Sorry, Tony Romo, it's what happened, right? Mm. When he did that, a lot of people turned against Prescott because they loved the king. They loved Romo, myself included, although I did not turn against Prescott, but the pain was real nonetheless,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Prescott is highly skilled, as is Jaime Lannister at his craft, one of, if not the best in the field. And he conquers nearly all challengers, sans the New York Giants, which hopefully will be repaired on September 10th, right?
Yep.
And if the NFL has its way, you ready for this? He'll lose his right hand, which is Ezekiel Elliott, if suspended.
Man, it is amazing. It is amazing that you chose to go with Jaime Lannister because that comparison is a huge reach. And without his right hand, how is Lannister even going to make that reach that you just did right there?
Oh, because no, sir.
Jaime Lannister comes from the richest of backgrounds. He was the ultimate swordsman. So to paint Prescott's come up from the fourth round pick to compare that to Lannister, again, that's a major reach. I liked the other part of the comparison that you had that you made about killing the king. That was nice. You should have led with that. You should have finished with that. The whole comparison of the background,
No.
I can't give you credit.
No, see, and this is where I have to put your own words back in your lap, because I understand that I operate at a frequency just north of where you are. So the comparison itself is brilliance in it, you know. It, literally, it's brilliance. But I got to remember, when I'm dropping jewels on you, I really can't give you the whole, you know, I can't give you the whole store at one time. I can't give you all of the diamonds. I got to start you out with a ruby and then an emerald. So I get that. So that's on me.
That's amazing, because you think that they call Tarth the Sapphire Islands because it's full of sapphires. So I really don't know what else to say about that. Carry on to your number one, sir.
Oh, okay. Number one. Ezekiel Elliott. Mm-hmm. Now, who is Ezekiel Elliott, do you ask? Who is he to me? Who is he to Patrick Walker of Dallas Cowboys on 247sports.com? Ezekiel Elliott is Joffrey Baratheon.
Oh, God.
Here's why.
I don't even want to continue anymore.
Do you want real life out here? Or?
Go ahead. Give me the 411 on it.
All right. So Ezekiel Elliott is Joffrey Baratheon, and here's why. Again, let me preface that with this. I love Zeke to death, but he's got to grow up. And that's the lead for this comparison. There is a huge air of immaturity, when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott. And he has this youthful belief in his own immortality and the Kevlar nature of his character. He doesn't believe that anything will ever hurt him ever, and he believes that his actions should always be completely inconsequential, when it's the exact opposite, because he has enough power wherein every little thing he does affects hundreds and you know, thousands of other people. So again, he has this huge air of immaturity, needs to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
He believes in his own immortality. Hopefully the NFL doesn't suspend him, but if they do, then he's about to wake up and find out that, you know, he's not Teflon. He has a series of irrational decisions. Now, that's not to say that he's always the bad guy, for lack of a better way to put it, in these instances. However, kind of alluding to what you were saying about Jon Snow when it came to your comparison to Ezekiel Elliott, he is completely devoid of what's going on around him mentally. So he just doesn't see it, which is why he continues to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. He's just like Joffrey Baratheon. He's hated by most citizens of the Seven Kingdoms. Seems like the world outside of the Dallas Cowboys wants to assassinate his character, his career, just like Joffrey Baratheon. Everyone wanted to have, see him dead. And last point, which is the strongest one, which is Zeke has the power to rule the world or destroy the world or to destroy himself. And at the moment, he's choosing the latter without even realizing he's choosing the latter. So will his story end like Joffrey Baratheon? Time will tell. Hopefully not. Hopefully he ends up in the Hall of Fame with 20,000 rushing yards. However, as we speak right now, July 19th, 2017, his actions, his character, his completely being oblivious to consequence, it smells just like Joffrey Baratheon to me. What you got?
I like it. It's not as good as me saying Zeke is Jon Snow. I can definitely follow the entire thought process that you put into that. I'd give it a 6 out of 10, which is much better than any of your other comparisons.
I need you to stop trying to make your Flavor Aid better than my Kool-Aid. But continue.
Wow.
Go ahead. Because you're trying to give me Maltimil and tell me that it's actually Fruit Loops. Like, no, it's Fruity Rings. You know what I mean? Like, stop that. Right?
My man. I'm sitting here listening to this, and I'm like, that's a really good one. He probably thinks he won this competition.
It's over.
You think so?
It's over.
My number one, I'm going backwards. I'm going to give you the character first, and then I'm going to tell you who the player is.
He's pulling tricks out, ladies and gentlemen. This is all a ploy to distract. Smoke and mirrors.
The character is Ned Stark.
I know where you're going with this.
Back to season one. Hold up. Let me finish, please.
Go.
Allow me to have this floor so I can drop this mic on your forehead. Ned Stark has uncompromising honor. He is a family man. He is a man of his word. He is all about success of the realm. He cares about the North, but more so he cares about the entire civilization of Westeros. And the player who embodies the spirit of Ned Stark is Tony Romo.
Tony Romo
is gone too soon. He is the father of this era of cowboy football. He is the absolute father of it, just like Ned Stark is the father of all of the different webs that have been woven dealing with all of the Stark children. From Sansa to Jon Snow, well, not technically Jon Snow, but to Robb Stark and all of the other things that have happened, Ned Stark was the father of it, just like Tony Romo will be seen as the father of this era of cowboy success. He was honorable. He fell on his sword. Just like Ned Stark did when they were about to, before they executed them, when he said, I'm going to go ahead and relent because this is what the people need. This is what my people need, is for me to say that Joffrey is the one true king. And that's what Tony Romo did when he stood up on that stage and he said, Dak Prescott is the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. He didn't mean it. He didn't believe it, but it's what was in the best interest of the team. And he is going to always be remembered as a person who started it and was not around to enjoy the success that came from everything that he put in with his blood, sweat, and tears. From the rebellion, to what happens in Winterfell, to when he went to King's Landing, Ned Stark has always, first and foremost, worried about the realm. And that's exactly what Tony Romo has done since he joined the Dallas Cowboys back in 2003. Gone too soon. My number one comparison, Tony Romo and Ned Stark. Give me the belt.
That is formidable. I will grant you that.
Thank you.
Nice. You saved the nuke for last. I'll give you that. Sucks for you that I had already obliterated everything before you dropped your nuke.
But that doesn't
change the fact that you did, in fact, still have a nuke. You know, but it's all mine. So, ladies and gentlemen, I will go ahead and tell you that the Tony Romo comparison, that was immaculate.
Thank you.
Yes, it was.
I'll be here all week. Thank you.
Yes, it was. Yeah, unfortunately, you will be. But
so that's where we are. That's our dueling top five. So let's recap. Let's recap. Give me your top five again from 5 to 1.
Okay. From 5 to 1. Number five, I got linebacker Jalen Smith. He is Brand Stark, the three-eyed Raven. Number four, wide receiver Dez Bryant. He is Jon Snow, the new king of the North. Number three, tight end Jason Witten. Sir Gregor Clegane, the Mountain. Number two, quarterback Dak Prescott. Jamie Lannister, the Kingslayer. Number one, running back Ezekiel Elliott is currently Joffrey Baratheon. What you got? Run down your five.
And on KD's side, we have number five checking in. Tight end Jason Witten is the red woman, Melisandre. She refuses to age, and so does Witten. Number four, player personnel director Will McClay is Tyrion Lannister. He is the second in command, the man behind the curtain. Number three, Cole Beasley, straight assassin, Arya Stark. Number two, Ezekiel Elliott. I'm giving him the title of Jon Snow. Need you to pay attention to what's going on around you, bruh. And then number one, Tony Romo is the one and only father of this entire series, Ned Stark. So what we're going to do now is we're going to obviously put this out to you guys on Twitter. Once this show posts, of course, we post every Friday morning. So be on the lookout. Make sure you're subscribing to us on iTunes. Catch this fade. If you're listening on the Cowboy Sports Radio app via vSporto, check that because it's not just us. My other podcasts are there, Cowboys Crunch Time, featuring Keith Mullins, John Machada, and Brandon George of Dallas Morning News has a podcast. You can find Landon McCool and StarCast and Cowboys Cast and just a wide variety of stuff. My man RJ Ochoa got a show on Cowboys Sports Radio, so make sure you download that app. But if you need to download the episodes so that you can listen to it at a later date, make sure you're on iTunes. Go subscribe right now. Catch this fade. This is the type of stuff we bring every week for you. We bring the thunder. That's exactly what we're here for, because we know that with all this going on with the Cowboys world, you still got to have a little bit of fun in your life, and you're trying to catch this fade. You know what it is. I'm KD Drummond. That's my man Patrick Walker. You know where to find us. Salute. We'll be right back.